to ride my bicycle. I want to ride my bike. I want to ride my bicycle. I want to ride it where I like.
The views expressed in this program do not reflect the views of the staff, management, or licensee of this station. This is 91.7 FM WHUS Stores. I am Peddler Ron, and you are listening to Bicycle Talk. This is episode 396 to be broadcast on Wednesday, May 22nd, 2024 on WHUS 91.7 FM and WHUS.org. Welcome to Bicycle Talk without my friendly co-host, the lovely Dr. Fran Storch, who may chime in now and then because she might be in the other room. And so anyway, we're recording in different rooms here today and she's just finishing up. But anyway, Bicycle Talk is a show where we talk about bicycles, bicycle culture, bicycle advocacy, upcoming news in cycling, bicycle business, and the bicycle calendar. If you are watching here on Facebook Live, you can just comment right down here below. And if you are watching this afterwards, you can comment below anyway, or you can reach out to me at bicycletalk1@gmail.com. You can listen to past episodes of Bicycle Talk on WHUS.org, Spotify, iTunes, and now on my Bicycle Talk YouTube channel. Ron's rant of the week, the blow-bys. You know what a blow-by is, right? The blow-by. This comes from a discussion we were having in spin class this morning. So in spin class this morning, we have this somebody who said something about this person. They were out riding their bike, and somebody went screaming past them on their bicycle. And they were obviously in a rush to do something, go somewhere, whatever, bike racer style, triathlete style person, whatever. And didn't even say hi when they went by. And, you know, the person that they passed said, "Hey, how you doing today?" Not a response. So, you know them, the overly competitive show-offs who are so self-absorbed with their own ride that they have to blow by you rather than taking a minute out of their ride and chat with you before continuing to ride. That's my rant of the week. The blow-bys. They're out there. You know who you are. Just take a minute, stop and chat and say hi and, you know, be friendly. It's a good thing. You know, making a friend, taking 1 minute to make a new friend is way better than that 1 minute you lost in your workout. Just a point. That's all. On a positive side, May is bike month. Still May. Still bike month. So therefore, May is still bike month. And, hey, did you ride your bike to work on Friday, May 17th, 2024? I did. Kind of cool. You know, it's a thing. It's a national day. And I'm hoping that others participated in it. We'll have a little bit more about this in the show. There's some good stuff out there. Anyway, we'll get back to it. And the Giro is here. Still. It's still here. 16 stages down. Rest day today. More to come. Whew, I'm tired just watching them. Unbelievable, crazy stuff going on the Giro. We're going to move on to that a little bit later in the show. We'll talk a bit more. And if you haven't, on a other positive side thing, if you have not yet visited downtown Old Town Wethersfield, you really owe it to yourself. Bicycles on Main is cool. It's totally cool. It's definitely something, if you're a bike person, you will appreciate this because it's a very, very cool thing. And it's just a great display of people decorating bicycles out in front of their homes and their businesses. And it's fun. It's friendly. It's a great family thing to do. The road is super quiet back there, so it's not like a very, very busy road. If you just want to go take the family out for a little bike ride, it's a really, really cool thing. I would also like to, on a positive side, I would also like to thank the folks that showed up for the Ride of Silence this year. Yeah, I was a little on the damp side. Yeah, we know that. We got rain. It was kind of a bummer. You know, rain is never a good time, but it's what we had, so we dealt with it. We got wet. Even the University of Connecticut Police Department didn't show up because of the rain, but, you know, we missed them. We hope to see them again next year. That'll be a good thing. Kevin sent me back a note, and he said that we only had about 10 less people this year than we had last year, and it was raining out. So, and it wasn't raining out last year. So anyway, that's kind of a cool thing. The Ride of Silence, of course, is a statement. It's kind of a protest of sorts. Since protest seems to be in the news these days, it's a good thing to say. It's a good thing. Definitely a good thing. So, Mechanical Minute, I got nothing today. Sorry, don't have anything for you. There are so many things that we could talk about in the Mechanical Minute, but I really don't have much to talk about there. Although we did bring up a little bit of a discussion once again in spin class this morning. One of my riders said, you know, you should do a clinic on how to change a flat tire. So I'll give you the brief here as far as that goes. Yeah, a lot of people get freaked out by changing flat tires on bicycles. If they do know how to use the tire levers and how to, you know, take a tire off and check the tube and check the tire to make sure there's nothing else protruding through and all that other stuff which goes along with it, which I can do in detail on another show. But the big one is, and this is the one that really confuses people more than anything else, is taking that rear wheel off. And if you've got a derailleur bike and you've got that cog set back there and you've got that derailleur and you got all that confusion, it tends to overwhelm people. They look at it and they go, oh my God, I can't do this because it's just too much going on. Couple of simple rules, really, really simple. Shift your bicycle down into the highest gear on your bike, so it is in the very hardest pedaling gear, and then you release your rear wheel and you pull the rear derailleur all the way back and let it slide out. And
are you making your show?
And yes, I am making my show, Fran. Thank you. Just pull it all the way back, and then the wheel should just drop out. So anyway, that's a great way to do it. And when you go to put it back on again, it's the same operation. You grab onto that derailleur, you pull it all the way back, so you open it all the way up so you can see exactly how the chain goes onto the cog set. And that's really all there is to it. It's pretty simple. Don't forget to clamp the wheel in place, and also don't forget to put the brake back on too, because a lot of times when you take your rear wheel off, you want to release the brakes so that you can get the inflated tire, or even deflated at this point, through the brake pads. So anyway, it's simple. There's YouTube videos. I should probably do a YouTube video. I'll put that on the YouTube channel. That's a good idea. I'll show you how to do it. It's really not that hard. So, and especially, as I said to my friend Bob this morning, it's really not hard after you do your first 1,000 of them. And when you own a bike shop, you do way more than 1,000. So, anyway, it's kind of a simple thing to go by, but everyone gets confused by it. So, we're going to move on and go into the show and talk a little bit more about the blow-by. Remember the blow-by? I just talked about it earlier, the rant of the week, the person who blows by and does not pay attention to the rider or riders they may be passing. We had an incident where a triathletic blow-by guy who was obviously training for the world championships because he couldn't be bothered for anything else, he just went flying by a whole group of us, and he's down in his aero position, and he's obviously very, very serious about what he's doing. And anyway, you know, I have no patience for that. I chased him down. I rode up alongside of him and asked him what he was training for, and, you know, explained to him that it's really rude to, like, go flying by people and not say hi. And he would kind of grumble at me, and that was that. So obviously his world is far more important than my world is, so good for him. That was great. So it's important to remember that not all cyclists behave in the same way, and generalizations can lead to misunderstandings. While some cyclists who wear Lycra may seem focused on their own training and performance goals, it doesn't necessarily mean they are intentionally ignoring or disrespecting casual riders. Okay, that's the other side of the blow-by. There could be various reasons why some cyclists, regarding of their attire, may not acknowledge others on the road or on the trail. Okay, focusing on training. There it is. What are you training for? What are you training for? World championships? Maybe? I don't know. Say hi. Anyway, cyclists wearing Lycra may be focused on their training regime, their pace, or specific goals during their ride, which can sometimes lead them to be more focused on their own performance rather than interacting with other riders. Okay, that's fair. That's fair. I can see that. Safety concerns. Now, this is definitely a thing. Some cyclists may be concentrating on the road ahead, their surroundings, potential hazards, which can make it difficult for them to divert their attention to acknowledge other riders. That's fair. And you don't know who you're riding past, too, if you are a blow buyer. You don't know exactly, you know, what skill level that person is. You may scare them. You may make them wiggle. You know, it can happen. So I'll give some credit there. Number three, different riding styles. Cyclists have different riding styles and preferences. Some prefer to ride solo or into small groups, while others may be more social and interact with fellow riders along the way. Me, I'm the social rider. I like to ride with people. I like to have conversations with them, and I like to, I really like to just make it more of a community thing. It's kind of like going to the local bar, but no drinking. You know, sort of. Anyway, unawareness. It's also possible that some cyclists may not be consciously ignoring casual riders, but may simply be unaware of their presence or may not realize the importance of acknowledging others on the road. Yeah, it's called social interaction. It's called, you know, we're all doing the same thing. We're all riding our bikes. We're all advocates for cycling. It's a good thing. We love our sport. Why not meet a new friend? It's a good thing. Anyway, if you feel that cyclists are not acknowledging you while you're out riding, it's important to remember that every individual is different. Okay. And it may not be a deliberate snub. However, it's always good to be courteous and respond to other riders, regardless of their attire or riding style. A friendly wave or nod can go a long way in fostering a sense of camaraderie among cyclists, regardless of the level of experience and the type of gear that they wear. Make sense, right? Stop, say hi. You don't have to stop. You can just keep riding alongside. You can also give them a lot of room if you're feeling like there's some wiggly behavior going on with the rider that you might be passing. You can always give them a little extra room and just chit-chat, say hi, introduce yourself, say bye. That's fine. That just, it goes a long way. It really does. It really does. Because maybe down the road, you get a flat tire and you're pulled over on the side of the road trying to take care of your flat tire. And as you do so, you find out that maybe you forgot to bring your pump or your tube was no good or your CO2 wasn't working or whatever. And this cyclist that you maybe had said hi to earlier pulls over and says, hey, can I help you with something? Getting along with people, you know, it's not a difficult thing, although it seems like a big challenge to some folks. So anyway, that was all part of my rant from earlier, and I just wanted to go over it, and I wanted to go over the really, really pretty much this was kind of the counterpoint on the blow-by, why people blow-by and why they feel, you know, legitimized by doing that sort of thing. On the other hand, I really like people. I like to meet people. I like to focus on meeting new people. I like to find out what they're all about, where they're from, how far they're riding that day, you know. It's just, just interested in them. And that, because we all ride a bike, so we all kind of have a common thing going on here, which is really, really cool. So May is Bike Month. Yep, it's still Bike Month. And there's still some events out there. You can check locally with your town. If you got a chance to go to the, the Ride Your Bike to Work Day or the Ride of Silence or something like that, then that's great, because last week was kind of a big week for this sort of thing. And it's really, really great. And I've got some comments coming up later on that will be related to that. And I think it's all pretty important. I'm gonna scoot on. Maybe I should go there first, actually. Okay, I'm going to go back to the Giro. It's the Giro. It's too exciting. I can't stay away from it. Big shout out to HBO Max for broadcasting it this year. It is being broadcast on Euro TV, Eurosport TV, so it's the commentating is very European based. Sean Kelly, a classic announcer, really, really good at what he does. There are others in there, and they're all really good. Jan's Voigt and other. It's been good. It's been a lot of fun. A lot of fun because you hear a little bit different perspective than you do when you're watching your standard U.S. television broadcast, Discovery Network, whatever it is that we have our other broadcasters on. Like Bob Roll, who I really enjoy. I like him a lot. And others, Phil Liggett, who is kind of a classic, although he's getting to be an older classic, and he says some strange things sometimes on his broadcast, but that's okay. And we still love Phil. Phil's still, he's still a voice of cycling. He's someone that we kind of grew up with, so to speak, with broadcasting here in the United States, because he's one of the first guys that actually was brought to the American market his counterpart, John Sherwin, was that his name? They were great. They were great together. They were also a good mix. They had a nice flavor about them, so they were kind of cool. But anyway, let's go back to the Giro, because the Giro is just like, this is classically one of the toughest races of the series of the three main classics of European cycling. And I find it to be the classic only because, the Giro it has lots of steep, sharp climbs in it. It has, you can have snow, you can have blizzards, you can have all sorts of crazy stuff going on. Yesterday's stage, spoiler alert, if you didn't see it, you might want to put yourself on mute right now. But anyway, I am going to talk about yesterday's stage to a certain degree here. There was snow on the top. It wasn't snowing out, but there was a lot of snow on the ground. So, they're riding at some pretty high elevations. It was over 2,000 meter climb, I think is what it was. So it was way up there. And, you get everything. You just get everything. You get wet roads, you get dry roads, you get narrow roads, you get roads that are beat up from the winter, you get all sorts of, classic cycling stuff. So the Giro is just, it's got a lot of flavor to it as far as that goes. And Tadej Pogačar is teaching us all what happens when you're 25 years old and so fit that you can't believe it and you just leave everybody in the dust. This guy is amazing. He is really amazing. We're hoping, of course, that everything is very clean in the bike racing circuit right now, and I think it is. I think it is fairly clean at this point. So that part I always have concerns about, but this kid can put out some amazing power on his bike. He's 25 years old. He won the Tour de France when he was 20. He won the Tour de France when he was 21. What a great way to get into bike racing, hey? Big time. So he's just putting on a show is what he's doing. He's totally putting on a show. And I talked about it last week. I'll talk about it again this week. Yesterday's race was unbelievable. And again, I'll go back to it. But I would like to add to the "and we're not dead yet" department. The old guys. Now, these are the 30-somethings that are still racing their bikes. How about Julian Alaphilippe? If you were watching the Giro over the last week, you saw Julian launch big time on it was like 120 kilometers to the finish line and got involved in a break, and then the break started breaking up and Julian kept going and basically end up soloing in at the end and had a good 40-second lead on the peloton and also the chasing group from the broken-up breakaway. Julian Alaphilippe is by far on the list of my top 10 favorite riders. I like him. I like his personality. I like his amazing ability to descend That guy can really handle a bike. And this was the key point on the stage that he won. And it was that when they were getting near the end, it went into this little city. And when it went into this little city, there were tons of right and left turns. It was really a wiggly, wiggly course. And that's where Julian does best. So once he was away and he hit that, you go into those turns solo versus going to those turns with a big group. It's way faster to do it solo. You don't have to worry about the rider next to you or in front of you or behind you or whatever. You're not stuck in the middle of a big peloton. You're all by yourself. So it's kind of cool. And Julian just, he put on a show. He totally put on a show. When he crossed that line, I have not seen him so excited since he won the world championships. He was just really excited that he had won the stage in the Giro. So it was cool. It was definitely a cool thing to watch. And then the other one I'm gonna shout out to is and this was unfortunate in the fact that he was second yesterday, but Nairo Quintana. He's a Colombian rider who has been racing since he was in his early 20s, if not 20 years of age. A phenomenal climber, an amazing rider in general, and has been kind of hot and cold over the last few years, really, you know, especially with these young climbers coming out, and they're just torturing him. But Nairo had the race for until Pagaccia decided to chase him down, and then that was that. But he was just climbing incredibly well. Yesterday's stage was known as the Queen Stage, Stage 15. And here it is. Tadej Pogačar stuns on Modolino ascent to win the Queen Stage. Stage 15, pink jersey extends lead over in the overall classification to 6 minutes and 41 seconds as Geraint Thomas and Dan Martinez lose more time. So, wow. 6 minutes. 6 minutes and 41 seconds. We're talking 7 minutes, really. So, this is amazing. They have a rest day today. They've got 1 week left. This is it. We're almost there. We're getting real, real close. And Tadej Pogačar is looking like there's nothing that can really take him out other than, you know, horribly a bad crash or something like that. He's got this thing sealed up. And the Italian Gano in the time trial, oh my God, 33 miles an hour, 460 watts of power at 33 miles per hour. Wow, that was just a few days ago. And that was actually the day before the Queen Stage. So think about that. Pogačar, in order to hold his place and his standing in the race, he still had to put out a pretty darn good time trial. He didn't win it like he did the last one, which was a huge surprise, but he still maintained himself really, really well, and then went out, and on this last past stage, he launched at about 14 kilometers to go, and that was it. That was it. He launched, he took off, he chased down Nairo Quintana, and then he went by him and then solo finished to the finish. And we're talking about 20% grades. We're talking about some serious, serious climbing. I'm watching him. I got my watch on. I'm checking his cadence. It's at least 90 RPMs. The other day he rode a stage, a very, very long stage. His average cadence was 93 RPMs. Guy just turns over the pedals. He must have an amazing engine inside of him cardiovascularly, because in order to maintain that kind of RPM for that long, you've got to be able to process your oxygen really well. So there's something going on there. He's definitely looking real good, and he's a lot of fun to watch, and he's just a kid. He's just a kid, 25 years old. That's really, really young. So let's see where it goes. He's gonna end up taking the Giro this year. There, I don't see anything getting in his way. I really don't. You know, barring a crash or something terrible, I just don't see anyone coming close to him. So this is going to be my my director sportif advice to Tyler Pagacha. Should he be listening? He won't be listening to Bicycle Talk, but it doesn't matter. Should he be listening? And I would say the same thing to any other racer that I was coaching and helping out with in any way. You got 6 minutes. Chill out. You need to chill. You need to just let your team protect you. Let them do what they're supposed to be doing. They're supposed to be wrapping around you and guarding you and keeping you safe and keeping you in the race through the whole way. And stop putting out any more work. Stop. Just stop. Because if you could just train through the end of the Giro, just use it for base mileage training, just going a lot easier, much lower wattage, he's going to be somebody to contend with at the Tour de France. And I think he wants to take both. I think that is on his mind and schedule to take both the Tour de France as well as the Giro. And that doesn't happen every day at all. It really doesn't. And now you're up in you know, you're playing with some legends when you go into that category. So my advice to you, Tade, if you're listening, is chill out for the last week. Enjoy the glory. It's a good thing. You don't have anything else to prove. We know how good you are. We know how explosive you can be. We know how fast you can turn those legs over. And, you know, it's just, it's been really entertaining. I really enjoy what I'm watching. But chill out for a week. Let's see if you can do that. I know that's hard to do when you're really, really competitive. But hopefully your director sportif will be talking with you a lot about that and about just calming down and making sure that you save some of that energy for the future. Because, you know, the Tour de France is only a month away after you get done with this. So it's not that far away, and, you know, it starts in July, and, you know, you don't have a ton of time to recover, and that's really what he should be looking at this point. I mean, my God, a seven-minute lead, you got all the time in the world. You really do. Nobody's going to touch that. Nobody can climb like that. Nobody can do that kind of damage. And so, anyway, that's my advice. You know, he's going to have to defend when somebody launches an attack in the mountains. He's certainly going to have to defend that to a certain degree. But, you know, he's got an entire team wrapped around him to take care of that. So shouldn't be that big of a deal. And, you know, there's been some great comments. Geraint Thomas has been fairly outspoken about, you know, what they're dealing with. And he's just like, we can't touch him. We just can't touch him, you know, and he's right. He's a really, really a tough one. So the other thing, the route is, let's see what they got up ahead of them here. Let's see here. I've got this in my computer. I know I do. Yeah. We agree. Of course we agree. We're watching the Giro. Of course we agree. So anyway, there should be a route marking in here. This has got to go away. That's the problem. So now we're up to, as we look at the advancement here, we're going to go to 206 kilometers is the next stage coming up. And are we in English? Yes, we are. We should be. So, and it looks like it is going to be an interesting profile race. They're going to have a sharp start and then a quick downhill with a big climb right after that. And then lots of descending all the way down into a deep valley, and then they're going to be climbing back up again. So stage 16 does not look easy. It looks like it's going to be another sort of mountaintop-ish finish, so it's going to be hard. It's definitely going to be a hard thing. So, yeah, the party is not over yet. This is definitely going to be a challenging thing. Stage 17, there's got to be a point where they flatten things out here a little bit. And it's not. It's hilly again on stage 17. It's another start at the bottom, go up, sharp, steep, short, drop down, another two more steep climbs after that with an uphill finish on stage 17. This is the Giro. This is not an easy bike race by any means. And then stage 18, are we getting any bit flatter at all? Yeah, there's your flat stage. It's actually slightly downhill, if you want to call it that. And so it's going to be a little bit less as far as that goes. And then stage 19, I'm just looking here, and it's got some rolls at the end. Once again, lots of climbing at the end. Pretty reasonable for the first half, and then lots of climbing at the end. So once again, that is not going to be an easy one either. That's 19 at stage 20, which should be it, I do believe. No, that's got a couple of majors in it. Major sharp climbs with a downhill finish on that one. And that brings us to stage 21, which will be our last one that will end in Rome. So it's going to be pretty much the parade into Rome. And we're looking at an extremely flat day in the saddle. So that's the way they generally finish these things, with big sprint finishes at the end for all the spectators that come out in Rome to watch the race. So we got lots of good stuff ahead of us here, but it looks miserably hilly for the next week. Still, they're just not backing off. The Giro is definitely, I think, the granddaddy of the more difficult races out there. I think the Vuelta is also in a class of its own, primarily because of time of year that it happens. It tends to be a little bit later in the season, but it's really, really hot in Spain then. So the heat can be a major factor there. The Tour de France even is starting to have problems with heat just because of our climate changes that are going on now. And so, you know, heat becomes a big factor. Dehydration is a huge factor. So you got to watch for that sort of thing. And you got to remember that when you're out riding your bicycle locally where you live too. Remember to hydrate. Remember to make sure that you've got plenty of water with you. It's okay to put that second bottle cage on your bike and to have another bottle on there. Yeah, your bike's going to be a little heavy, but who cares? You need the water more than you need the light bike. So, you know, carry a little water with you. It's always good. And also, as you plan out your rides, you might want to be super careful about where you go and making sure that you have stops along the way to fill those bottles up, because we are about to hit the warm weather. The prediction here, up here in New England, is that we're going to hit 80 degrees today or close to it. I don't know if we're there yet. I can do a quick check. I'm still at 68 degrees, so it doesn't look like it's going there very quickly, but it is going to get warm. So anyway, the thing is, you're going to dehydrate if you don't check your water level. Make sure you put some electrolytes in your bottle. Make sure you've got that taken care of. After you get done with a nice long ride, even not so long ride, just give yourself some protein right away afterwards. Put it in a liquid form so it's really easy to put down. So anyway. Anyway, that's unfortunately Don is listening and he's not getting a lot of my commentary today for some reason. So anyway, sorry about that, Don. Maybe it's your Facebook connection, because I think I'm pretty good right now, but I don't know. I am in a different part of my house today, which may make a difference. Hopefully that is not creating a huge problem. And if you can't completely watch it right now and you want to watch it later, I will post it up on YouTube, and so maybe we can see it then, and you know, you can tell me what happened, whether or not this worked or not. So anyway, on with Giro, on with next week. What a great day for a rest day. Boy, they really, really need the rest day, because it's been tough. Gotta say, it has been tough. and classic at the same time. Hey, who's the next older cyclist who's going to create the big action in the Peloton? I mean, you know, with Julian and Nairo both doing their thing, that was just really, really entertaining and fun to watch, because, you know, I've been watching them for years, and they're just and they're, you know, all of a sudden having some good days. So anyway, let's move on to and let's hear from Earl Blumenauer, who is a congressman from Oregon, and he has served on the U.S. House of Representatives since 1996. He's the co-founder and chair of the Congressional Bike Caucus. The reason I bring him up, I talked about him a few weeks ago, and he's, you know, he's got a very positive insight to bicycles and the bike to work day and all the other things that go along with it. He's a cyclist, and he's also a senator. So this is a good thing. This is a really, really good thing. We need more of you out there. John Kerry is also a cyclist, and John Kerry was a senator from Massachusetts for a really long time. And as a matter of fact, he used to go to Belmont Wheelworks in Massachusetts, and I think he had a custom bike made there. And John Kerry is a big guy. His bike's huge. He's just a really, really tall guy. But anyway, another cyclist who's in, you know, in decision-making areas that can be very, very beneficial to us. So that's a good thing. We need to get more and more people like that who are very positive thinking, you know, progressive thinking, transportation-wise and all that. But let's go here. This is an op-ed that came out of, I think, maybe even Bicycling Magazine. It was actually by Earl Blumenauer. And it's hard to think of another mode of transportation that is a more powerful tool to meet our challenges. How about that? That's a statement, right? It's your bike. That's what he's talking about. From Paris to Williams Avenue in Northeast Portland, the bike renaissance is making a difference in the lives of thousands every day. Bikes spur economic development, fight congestion, enhance tourism, and offer a low-cost alternative to cars. In a time of deep concern about climate change, it's hard to think of another mode of transportation that's a more powerful tool to meet this challenge. Fran went to Portland a few years back, and she went out to visit some friends. That's where she went to naturopathic college. And she, when she was out there, she had a choice between renting a car and renting a bike. She chose to rent a bike, which is kind of cool, because that's the way she ended up transporting herself around Portland, was on the bicycle. That's something to think about. If you're traveling somewhere and a car rental is in your scheme of things, maybe it shouldn't be a car rental. Maybe it should be a bike rental instead. Think about that. That's kind of a cool idea. So Earl says bikes have been a constant throughout his 50 plus years in public service. One of his proudest accomplishments was successfully working to build protected bike lanes on Pennsylvania Avenue between the U.S. Capitol and the White House. Nothing sends a stronger signal about the power of the bicycle than integrating it into America's most iconic street. Recently, he says, our efforts have focused on making cyclists safe amid a dangerous increase in roadway fatalities. He introduced Sarah Debink Langenkamp, Active Transportation Safety Act, named after a U.S. diplomat who was killed biking home just weeks after returning from an active war zone. The legislation named in her honor will unlock unprecedented sums of federal funding for state and local governments to fill gaps in pedestrian and cycling infrastructure. A similar bill modeled after his legislation recently passed in the Maryland state legislature. He is also fighting for communities across the country to take full advantage of the $5 billion grant program created last Congress to fund the local Vision Zero projects. The demise of Vision Zero, the premise of Vision Zero is simple: end all roadway fatalities. Going to be hard to do, but since the grant program's inception, more than 1,000 communities have received planning and implementation grants to make their streets safer. He also says that we must also level the economic playing field for cyclists. His e-bike act would enable more Americans to take advantage of electric bikes by making them more affordable. The Bicycle Commuter Act reinstates a tax benefit for bike commuters, just like those who take transit or park at a work. There's no area of our work that gives me greater satisfaction or that holds more promise for the future than the bicycle, says Earl. This bike to work day, I hope you are able to burn calories instead of carbon and enjoy the power and the joy of a bicycle. I know I will. So big shout out to Earl Blumenauer from Oregon, who is just really like, he's grabbing onto this thing and going strong. He's got a firm grip on the handlebars, as we like to say. So that's a really, really cool thing. And I love it when I see people who are in positions of power that are so behind the bicycle and so involved with the bicycle, because it's very, very important. It does reduce so much cost in general when you start transitioning over to the bike. It really makes a huge, huge difference. That day that you park your car and you ride your bike to work, that day that when you do get to work, you are able to park your bicycle right next to the entrance of where you're going, instead of having to park it way back down in the parking lot. And then that at the end of the day, you get to contend with nothing really as far as cars and traffic go, because, yeah, you got to deal with the cars that are all pulling out of the parking lot as they're leaving work. But once you get out on your bike on the street, you're pretty much, or even in a protected lane, better yet, you pretty much got a free ride home. So it's, you know, it's something to think about. It's also super nice when you're using it for commuting purposes, which is really cool. I got out on my bike for a bike to work day. This is the first time I've been on my road bike for a long time due to a, I'm referring to it as a pharmaceutical injury, because I was taking a medication that was trying to control my cholesterol and it ended up destroying my legs. But that's another story. And guess what? Getting better. The company that made the product said that it should take anywhere from 60 to 90 days to get over it, to get through the problems that I was having with it. And right now I'm at day 76 or 77. I've lost count now since I stopped taking it. And I'm starting to get some sparks of things happening in a good way, although hills are still massive in front of me right now, because my leg strength, my muscular endurance has really been compromised by this. But I did ride my bike to work on Friday, and I did teach my spin class, and I did ride my bike back home afterwards. So it was kind of a cool thing to do. You know what, Pete? I think you're right. I think John Kerry does have a Cerata. I'm pretty sure he does. And it's kind of cool. It's definitely cool. It's huge. I've seen it. I've seen the bike, and it's enormous. It's absolutely enormous. Apparently, he's a regular at Belmont Wheel Works in Massachusetts. So he kind of he's one of the places where, you know, bike people, they hang out in bike shops. It happens. Yeah. A big shout out to Jim McPherson, who's watching right now. And the shout out I have to Jim as he is watching is that Jim works in Hartford, and he rides his bicycle into Hartford, or used to work in Hartford. I don't know. He's had some changes there. But I remembered seeing him riding into Hartford, and, you know, that's from all the way out in Chaplin, which is a pretty decent ride. That's a healthy ride, for sure. But he's done some bike to works, for sure. So big shout out there. That's the good news, that we have advocacy on our side. We have people on our side that are going to be able to help us make the changes, get the funding to make the changes. And hopefully we'll use and spend this money in the right direction and get things going correctly, which would be really, really nice. Other things. You know, I had touched on this last week, and I didn't really get a chance to talk about it. I did make a reference to it, and I'm going to go there now. This kind of blew me away that this is happening, but this is all coming from Streets Blog, by the way, if you're looking for more and more advocacy information for pedestrian and cycling. Streetsblog.org is a great place to go. Monday's headlines, this came from obviously a couple weeks ago, but the U.S. has more than 1 billion parking spaces. So what do you do with 1 billion parking spaces? That means there's about 3 parking spaces for every person in the United States. Tell me where this doesn't make sense. So it does make sense, though, that cities don't want to build any more of these things. Of course not. It's expensive real estate. It costs them money where they could be putting a building in. They could be putting housing there. They could be putting a commercial building. It's commercial on the bottom with housing on the top. They could be doing lots of more productive things with that space than parking more cars than we have to park in those spaces. It just doesn't make a whole lot of sense. So anyway, this did come out on May 13th on Streets Blog, and this is a shout out to Blake Ayoud, who wrote this. It's just, the information is just crazy, because we devote more space in storing cars than we do housing people. What is wrong with this picture? But in some cities, it's beginning to change. Many cities worldwide are now starting to prioritize transit, walking, and biking over parking. This includes Canadian cities like Montreal and Vancouver, which recently made some of their streets car-free. How about that? While bike shares appear to have avoided the drop that transit agencies experienced during the pandemic, there's still a lot to learn about people's commuting habits on the bike. State legislators are considering consolidating transit agencies in cities like San Francisco and Chicago, and hoping that such streamlining would improve service and make it easier to address the funding gaps. New York City's Vision Zero initiative cut traffic injuries by 30% and saved Medicaid $90 million in healthcare costs over the last 5 years. Cargo e-bikes, otherwise modified over to be like little tiny electric trucks, are the future of package delivery in New York City and probably more cities too. It's really cool. I saw a UPS e-bike. That's the coolest thing. Had the little brown box on the back, the whole deal. They're pedaling the bike around. So cool. So cool. Biking in Chicago grew more than any other U.S. city over the past 5 years, but cyclists say local government is still not doing enough to protect them. So there you go. That's another point there. So they're growing, but we still need more protection. Cars are still not our best friends when we're out riding our bikes, so that's definitely a problem. And hey, Kevin, Kevin's on, and Kevin Mahan is our coordinator for the Ride of Silence. And thanks again, big tip of the cycling cap to you, or as they say, as the Brits say, a tip of the chapeau. So anyway, Kevin is the inspiration behind and the energy behind our Ride of Silence here in Connecticut, the only Ride of Silence that we had in Connecticut this year, and I think last year also, so it's kind of cool. So Houston, Mayor John Whitmark backs away from bike and pedestrian safety projects. What? Really? You got to be kidding me. Michigan is considering replacing its gas tax with a vehicle miles road usage charge. That is very interesting. So much for the e-car being less expensive for you to drive, because that's still, is it going to go by mileage? If you're going to go by mileage, it's probably more fair to go by mileage when you look at it. It probably is. Milwaukee's considering providing more frequent streetcar service during popular lakefront festivals. Indianapolis area residents can now get a free annual Pacer's Bike Share Pass. Here's a cheap electric car for zipping around. It's more like a golf cart with doors. Yes, there's a vehicle made by Jalopnik, I think it's called Jalopnik, and it's very European and it's very cool. It's completely enclosed. You pedal it, but it's also electric assist, and you can get them car only, which is so it's completely battery powered. Will we ever see them in the U.S.? Hardly. I doubt it very much. But you know that's what the way we are here in the U.S. We're not real. We're so car centric that I don't think we're going to see any of that. Apparently, there's a big talk about the. China has come out with a lot of electric vehicles, a lot of electric cars, and at unbelievably low prices. You know, you take a look at the electric car that I'm driving right now, it was $42,000 was the base price on this car, and China's got them for $10,000, so a quarter of the price. That's a little frightening in some ways, you know, when you think about that. I don't know what corners they're cutting to get there or whether it's just that there's just so much money to be made in the U.S. market with e-cars and all the luxuries that go into them. Who knows? But, you know, you can throw it all away if you just get yourself a nice e-bike and you can get yourself around really easily on that and you'll get many, many years of use out of that. And it won't cost you a lot of maintenance. It's a much smarter way to go. So e-bikes have taken a lot of interest because of that. I'm going to go right on to events now. We're starting to run out of time here, so I just want to make sure that I cover our events here. Bicycles on Main, the annual Bicycles on Main in Wethersfield. And this is Old Town Wethersfield, not the Silas Dean Turnpike, not the where all the commercial stuff is. Not there. It's back in the back, the old downtown where all the historic houses are. It's just beautiful back there. It's just a very, very gorgeous area, and a lot of people don't even realize it exists because they're on the Silas Dean Highway going back and forth because that's the main thoroughfare that goes through Wethersfield other than the major highway, 91. And, boy, you get off into that little quiet area there. It's so pretty. It's really, really nice. And now there's a bike route that will attach you to the Putnam Bridge, which we talked about in the last few episodes. And you can actually ride your bike over to Glastonbury. So you can go back and forth between Glastonbury and Wethersfield, and you can do it safely and protect it on a bike lane, which is very, very cool. So if you get a chance, go check out Old Wethersfield Shop, the Old Wethersfield Shopkeepers Association. They've got this great winning event, and it's people put out bicycles in front of their homes and in front of their businesses, and they decorate them, and they put silly little signs on them. Some of them not silly little signs, some of them very creative. It's a cool thing of the town of Wethersfield that they do this sort of thing. So it's very cool. You should go check it out. It goes on through the end of May, so we are getting close to the end of May, so I like to actually let people know about that. Speaking of getting ready for the end of May, early June, the Best Buddies ride is coming up, and that is a ride that is basically raising money for the Best Buddies organization. The Best Buddies organization is run by Anthony Shriver. His mother was the one who started the Special Olympics. It's a very, very cool event. Last year, the Best Buddies raised over $4 million in one day with bicycle ride. There's a 100-mile ride, there's a 50-mile ride, there's a 20-mile ride, and there's one heck of a great party afterwards. It's really a cool event. I will be going again this year. I will be the pilot on a tandem, as I was last year. I'm going to have some things posted on my Facebook page here very shortly, and I got to do a little bit of fundraising here on this thing, but I've already reconnected with my buddy Gabe from Maine, and we're off and running. Gabe's in the gym. He's taking spin classes, and he's working out. This is going to be exciting. It's going to be a really good time. So anyway, that packet pickup on that is Friday, May 31st from 4 to 7, and it's on June 1st. So it and the 100-mile ride starts at 7 a.m. Completely, unbelievably well-supported ride. Super well-supported ride. There are a bunch of folks like myself that are there, and we are the domestiques on the ride, and we are there to help riders who are on the ride, and we have them in all the rides. So if you're having any trouble at all, the domestique is there to help you. The domestique is there to monitor traffic for you. It's just an incredibly well-supported ride, so I like to push it because it's pretty cool. Also coming up, June 28th and 29th in Australia, the Maid Show, which is the handmade bicycle show, which is kind of cool. And then the Maid Show in Portland, Oregon is on August 23rd to the 25th. Domestique events, the folks I work with both this, with the gravel rides that we've been doing, like the Natrog Epic, which is coming up in Western Connecticut, which will be out of Lime Rock Race Park. Keep in touch with them, domestiqueevents.com, and they got good stuff coming up this fall. The Ride for the East, Ride the East on June 8th, 2024, Saturday, June 8th, from Gilson House Museum in downtown Willimantic, 627 Main Street, Willimantic. And you get to explore the scenic airline trail with East Coast Greenway Alliance and Trust for Public Land. Really, really cool. Totally protected, really, pretty much, because it is an old rail trail. It is gravel. So you will be aware of the fact that you need this, a substantial tire to handle that sort of thing, or a mountain bike or whatever works fine. I ride my road bike on it. It's really a pretty peaceful trail, so it's not too bad. The 2024 Steeplechase Ride Walk is on Saturday, August 17th. Road rides including a 20, a 35, and a 62-mile ride, and a 5-mile walk fundraiser on that, as well as an 18-mile gravel ride from last year, and an additional 40-mile gravel route coming up this year, and that is on August 17th. We will keep you in touch with all these things. I'm completely running out of time, so I'm going to go right over to Finishing Points, and we'll get to more events next week, because there's lots of events going on. It's summer. Here we go. It's not quite summer, but it's close enough. In our world, it's summer. Finishing Points. Are you a blow-by cyclist? Shame on you. You should know better than that. Life is short. Make new friends. Your friends will last much longer than that last training ride will. So, it's the Giro. What do you say? It's pretty exciting, isn't it? I think it's just amazing. Did you go to this year's Ride of Silence in your community? That would be a good thing if you did. We do love those listener comments. Keep them coming. So, 2024, you're going to ride more miles, ride and commute to work around or just around town. You're going to be looking for better fitness, or you're simply enjoying bicycle rides you take more by slowing down and smelling the roses. I'll say it again. It won't be my last time. Get loud. Get active. Our time has come. Stop complaining about traffic, dangerous roads, the price of gas, and the lack of places to safely ride your bike, and join that revolution of change. Hey, take that day and park your car or truck and ride your bicycle instead. You just might surprise yourself. The views expressed in this program do not reflect the views of the staff, management, or licensee of this station. You have been listening to Bicycle Talk. Without my friendly co-host, the lovely Dr. Fran Stort, she's off in the other room. And if you're watching on Facebook Live, feel free to comment down below. If not, send me an email, bicycletalk1@gmail.com. You can listen to past episodes of Bicycle Talk on whus.org, iTunes, Spotify, and now my Bicycle Talk YouTube channel. This is Pedal and Ron. Remember, keep the rubber side down, the wind at your back. Get out and ride your bike. It really could save your life. This is 91.7 FM, WHUS Stores, and WHUS.org. Thanks for listening. Get on your bikes, ride!